Welcome back to the podcast. You got Roper.
Hey, guys.
You got me. It's Hunter.
That's Hunter.
That's me.
Old Hunt Sizzle over there, guys.
Every single week.
Every week.
This week, we got something fun. You know how we all... Roper, do you know how we every single album review we've done, we've like shat on the record?
Yeah.
This week's going to be different. Okay. We're going to talk about a record that Roper hasn't listened to a ton, and I've listened to a lot, and that I knew we'd both enjoy.
Yeah.
So we had a lot to say. It comes from our pals, 4 Years Strong.
It's true. They are our friends.
We never talked to them.
Maybe one day.
And it's their self-titled, which is their most underrated record, in my opinion. Here's the deal. Roper put out a question, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. We'll get into depth. But he asked, what's your favorite 4 Years Strong record? And no one answered this one, so I feel like this may be a bit disappointing for some of you. However, I feel like it'll be a good time.
You guys might be surprised.
I feel like you'll be surprised.
I was fucking surprised.
I think you'll listen to some of the tracks on this, and you'll be like, fuck, I gotta check out this record.
Oh, hot damn.
So, without further ado, should we jump in?
Let's jump in.
Okay, Roper, I worked on the album stats, so I'm just going to go down with it with you for a bit.
You're going to go down on me?
No, not this. Not to them. So, yeah, I thought it was important to talk about the record a little bit more and kind of talk about their past.
Absolutely.
Introduce the band if you're not super familiar with them. But anyway, 4 Years Strong is an American pop-punk easycore band from Worcester. I always think of Worcester.
It's Worcester.
Worcester, Massachusetts, formed in 2001. They have released 7 studio albums, their most recent album being Brain Pain, which was released February 28th of 2020 through Pure Noise Records.
You know what that means?
What's that mean?
They might have another one coming.
I think it's on the way. I think they've been talking. They've been thinking. As for their band members, most commonly known, Alan Day and Dan O'Connor, which all do lead vocals, guitars, keyboard programming, and they've been in the band from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Which is cool. You also have Jake Masaku, which that's wrong, but I can't pronounce it. So he does drums and other percussion. He's been there since the beginning as well. But then we have Joe Weiss, which does bass guitar and backing vocals, and he jumped in 2004.
Still early member though.
Very early.
This guy's been together for a very long time.
They used to have 5 members. We'll actually talk about this. Former members here, Josh Lyford, which actually. Believe we've talked about on the show
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he's got another band, isn't he?
I don't think they're making stuff anymore.
Oh, well, he had another band.
I forgot what it's called, but if you really want to dig in, we can find it for you.
Dig in.
Anyway, he did keyboards, synthesizers, unclean vocals, and backing vocals. That was from 2006 to 2011.
Ooh.
And before him, there was another guy named Eric Stone who did keyboards and synthesizer from 2004 to 2006.
Old E. Stone, dude.
Mm-hmm. So, looks like Eric was original, and then Josh kind of came in. And from what I remember, it sounded like they weren't really interested in adding much for keyboards or synthesizers anymore.
Yeah.
So they didn't really need the extra member and politely told him adios.
Skedaddle.
Scoop, motherfucker.
Oh.
Sorry, that was a little aggressive.
That wasn't polite.
That wasn't. Here's their discography. Stick with me, because they actually have quite a bit here.
Yeah.
They have a demo EP called All the Lonely Girls, which dropped in 2001 when the band was formed. I have not heard this yet.
Neither have I.
I know it's hard to find. It's not on streaming services, so YouTube's probably your best bet there. They have an EP called The Glory, which dropped in 2003. They have a demo EP. That's all it's called. It's just called Demo, which dropped in 2004. Their first LP, which it's called It's Our Time in 2005.
I downloaded that one illegally.
Did you? I don't remember hearing that one.
It's got a song called Better Than Baseball on it.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I heard this was when they were like not doing as raspy of vocals.
Yeah.
A lot more clean stuff.
And there's a lot more synth on this.
Is there?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And then they have a demo they dropped, which was basically early Rise or Die Trying songs, which was in 2006. And then for the more familiar stuff, they dropped their full length Rise or Die Trying 2007. Then their next full length Enemy of the World 2010, which is my personal favorite. Do you like Rise or Die Trying more or Enemy of the World?
I think I like Rise more.
A little bit more. Sure.
Yeah. Cause, doesn't Enemy of the World have, flannel? Is the color.
I believe so.
Yeah, I've
listened to them
trying.
Back and forth all the time, so it's hard
I
for
like
me
them
to,
both a lot, though. Yeah.
No, they're both, in my mind, perfect records.
Yeah.
And then we have the Black Sheep, which is their full length in some way, shape, or form. You know, it has one good song I like.
It's kind of sad because this is like how they, this is like kind of them trying to branch out.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do more experimentation.
What I listened to in interviews, they were like, yeah, we put a lot of our like actual musicianship into this one and it just didn't go over well.
Anyway, they had their EP Go Down in History, which dropped in 2014. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Their LP, which is the crown jewel of today's episode, they're self-titled, dropped in 2015.
Yeah.
Then their next LP was Some of You Will Like This, Some of You Won't, which was in 2017. That was a bunch of their reimagined songs and stuff, and like some older songs they like had redone. It's fantastic. They did a...
You missed one.
Did I miss one?
Their cover album.
Their cover album. Ah, yeah. I did. That dropped sometime between, I think it was like after, it was between In Some Way, Shape, or Form and Going Down in History, I think.
I think it was before.
Was it before? Yeah. Either way, great covers. They did awesome with that. But anyway, Some of You Will Like This, Some of You Won't had they had this one cover of a song we'll talk about later that they made into kind of a country bro down kind of a thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard it, but I will definitely show you. It's amazing. You'll love it.
Okay.
Then their next LP they released was Rise or Die Trying, which was their 10-year anniversary record. Then they just skipped over Enemy of the World, which was disappointing. But you know, we'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Then they had their LP Brain Pain, which dropped in 2020. And
I love this record.
It is a fantastic record. And then their following, which was just the deluxe in 2021. So I think they added a few extra songs on there.
I think so too.
Nothing crazy, but it's cool and I like it. Anyway, but we're talking about the self-titled here. And that is their fifth studio record that dropped June 2nd, 2015, to be more specific. The reception was mainly positive, sticking to around the 80 out of 100 range. So, you know, B pluses and stuff like that. We may still be passing. Very much passing. And then we're going to kind of talk about some interviews that we had found. In an interview with Diffuser, the interviewer asked, what kind of themes do you play around with on the new record? And this is long-winded, so bear with me. We've never really been a band that plans things out as far as our writing. We've always kind of been a fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants kind of band. We just start writing a song and let it go where it goes. Let it take its own shape. So that being said, we have never tried to do a themed record. But this one definitely deals a lot with things we've experienced. You know, we're a lot older, between 27 and 30. So we don't write about the same things we wrote about when we were writing songs at 18, 19, 20. There are definitely a lot more adult situations, but at the same time, we make the songs open so that other people can find their own meanings and relate to them in whichever way they want. There are definitely everyday situations that every person goes through, and even though I'm 30 years old, I'm still growing up. I'm still learning new things about myself and changing, so I think that's always something that 4 Year Strong has dealt with. Just sticking through hard times kind of vibe, and I think there's a few songs that deal with that as well on the new record. I like what he said about that he kind of left it open.
Yeah.
If you kind of read the lyrics,
you can't really pinpoint.
You can't pinpoint exactly what's happening or who they're talking about, or it kind of seems like it jumps around, but it works.
Yeah.
It works really well, and there's just a lot of badass moments in here. And another question I thought was important to add here was, the interviewer asked, how was the recording process any different from previous records? And I thought this was really cool. We worked with a producer and engineer named Kurt Ballou. He's from the Massachusetts area, and he plays guitar in a band called Converge. Him being from Massachusetts and him being someone who deals with heavier music, his recordings are more raw and in your face. They sound different in this day and age. They're not cookie cutter like a lot of the recordings that are coming out nowadays. We wanted to go to him not only because it was easier for us. I mean, it was 20 minutes from a house. But he also has really interesting and different recordings. And since we wanted this to be a real in-your-face heavy record, we just thought it was a really good fit to go with someone like that. I like that. Yeah, they're not adding a ton of extra shit here. Pretty much everything you hear is being played on an actual instrument.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
And every song on this album, you kind of picture it. Like, I picture it as if I'm standing there at their concert.
Oh, yeah. No,
because I guarantee you I've heard all these songs live, too.
You know, it's so funny. The one, like, the most important concert that I went to of theirs, I was, it was right after this dropped. and it was like a few days after my birthday, I think. And I was so excited to see them and hear some of these songs live.
Yeah.
And what they did, it pissed me off. I call it the Papa Roach effect because I saw him do it first. But they just combined a bunch of the songs and then into like one song.
They did a mashup.
They did a mashup, which was like cool, but also like, fuck you. I wanted to hear all these, or like at least my favorites, you know? Because I think that like whenever they tour, they respect the fact that the fans want to hear Rise or Die Trying or Enemy of the World. And then they'll sprinkle a few other things here and there, which is like cool. I respect that, but also like I like your new stuff, and I want to hear it.
The last time I saw them, they played like a really broad mixture of everything, which was dope.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
When did you see them last?
Oh shit, I don't know if they opened up for another band.
They usually headline.
Yeah. Well, every time I've seen them in Des Moines, they've opened up for like a different band.
The story so far was the one I had saw, which I'm pretty sure we were at the same show.
Yeah, we were. But I saw them after. I think I saw them at Warped Tour.
Oh,
really?
After
that. Yeah,
I never got to see them at Warped Tour.
I've seen them at Warped Tour twice and fucking knocks me on my ass every time.
Really? Oh, they're so good.
Because I know I'm going to get my ass kicked in the mosh pit.
My dream is to go to their Christmas concert that they have every year. Last year, they had to do I'm pretty sure it was last year. They had to do a video version of it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I was happy to see that. Thanks, COVID. But then I'd also had to like buy a ticket to Massachusetts, which isn't a bad idea because my buddy Doug's
Doug
out
lives
there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can make that work. That's
a free place
idea.
To stay.
Genius.
And Doug can hang out with you.
He has to hang out with me. He doesn't have a choice.
It's a positive, man.
Before we jump into the track by track review, do you have any thoughts?
Any thoughts? Coming back to this record. When I started listening to it a lot more this week, I was like, oh, I'm super excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I always, like, this band, I always sleep on this band, and then I put on, like, this record, for instance. I'm probably most familiar with this record out of all of them, just because my buddy had this record, or had this CD when it came out, and we used to listen to it all the time. And so, yeah, I just got super excited listening to it all the way through, and I was like, oh, shit, I remember a lot more than I thought I did.
Yeah, right, so when this dropped in 2015, I think this was one of the only albums I, like, digitally fully purchased from, like, iTunes or whatnot, and I just remember listening to it on repeat, and it was so, I'm pretty sure this was, like, before streaming, like, on Apple Music, at least. I'm sure Spotify was still a thing, but there was no, like, the traction wasn't even nowhere near.
This was definitely peak levels of me. Like, this was my purest pop punk roper.
Purest pop? I think 2015 was just our year.
2015 was one of the best years in pop punk.
It was. Hands down. Hands down. All right, let's Stop.
Sorry, man.
Let's jump into track by track review. Roper, what's our first track here?
Our first track is I Hold Myself in Contempt. Taking you up when you're falling.
Okay, all right. So overall, Roper, I absolutely love this song. One of my favorites from the whole record. My only complaint is that it takes 33 seconds for the actual song to start.
Oh, yeah.
This will be like a continuous comment of mine on this track, but the guitars are so well done. I can't think of many other bands have better guitar tones, and the skill they have is phenomenal. If you guys can, they do acoustic versions of a lot of their songs, and a lot of times they're like, I don't know how that would sound on acoustic guitar, and they start playing a little bit, and it's like, oh, we can make this work.
Yeah.
And like watching like what their fingers do, like, it's, if you fuck up on like an electric guitar, you have that distortion
that
kind of covers it up. If you fuck up on an acoustic guitar, you're gonna know.
Yeah.
And these guys, like, as far as I remember, hit every single note.
That's dope.
Vocally, they hit it all the way through this record, but this song, they have some like really standout moments that you can't help but sing along to. What a great opener. And that sets you up for the rest of the album. That's why I'm always like really like listening to the opener, because I'm like, what should I expect for the entire record? And I think this did a really good job.
Yeah, an opener should definitely set the pace for the entire album. Mm-hmm. If it falls flat, then most times you're not going to be like super interested.
Yeah, you're going to be like, well,
that went over like a fart in church. I think this opening track is great for this album. Alan and Dan are masters at the call and response vocals.
They are.
I think their vocals are almost unmatched, in my opinion. Every time I hear them sing, I just like am ready to fucking go, dude.
Yeah, you're like almost, it's like perfect pit music.
You know you're in for like a great pump up jam anytime they fucking, anytime Four Year Strong comes on. I commented on the guitars as well. I said the guitars are perfect as always. They have a certain formula to them that works every fucking time.
Yeah, they do.
I think this song is about not being too hard on yourself when you're stressed or down on yourself, and these guys always find a way to bring a positive message to a majority of their songs.
Yeah, like while also saying fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely.
That's the beauty of it being open-ended, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can make it into anything you want.
Yeah.
Which is like... Like, when I write music, I have such a hard time doing it. I'm like, no, this needs to, like, describe every fucking thing. So, I don't know if I could ever write something like Four Year Strong does. But
you're a very literal person, too, so.
I'm like, I want to put as many words into this song as possible.
And then when you try to play it live, you're like, fuck, I shouldn't have put that many.
Dude, I'm, like, out of breath all the time. When I'm recording, I have to sing a line and then I stop it and then I like I back up a little bit onto another track and I sing just so I can like start at a good time. Singing live is going to be difficult. I can make it work. I can cheese it. Anyway, I hold myself in content. Great song. I feel like there are other songs on here that I want to listen to, like if I'm like, oh, I got 10 minutes in the car or something.
Yeah.
So I don't always go back to this one, but I would if it wasn't for that fucking 33-second intro.
There's certain intros in this album that I'm always like, all right, skip, and then I forget how good the fucking song is.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's like maybe that's one of Four Year Strong's like downfalls, is the fact that I think every single song on here, minus maybe a few, always have like these really long intros.
Yeah.
It just sucks that this intro is like literally like it just sounds like an engine starting and like guitars are like warming up from like a tube amp or something. I don't know how they did it. It sounds cool. I like it. It's like if I'm gonna listen to the full record, I'm just gonna sit and do nothing but that. It's great. If I have 10 minutes, I'm like, well, we're gonna have to find something that gets to the point a little quicker.
So
absolutely. Are you ready to go to the next track?
Well, do you want to hear an interesting fact about the song?
I do.
The song is a reference, or the song title is a reference to the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey when he's arguing with the judge. He's like...
Is that the one where he like writes with a pen and he has to like start telling
the truth? Pen is blue.
Yeah.
And it's a black pen.
Okay.
Or when he buys his son a birthday gift and he's like, and the son's like, baseball stuff.
I don't remember. I've only seen a little bit of it.
Well, the guy who was the kid in that movie, like, used to get bullied really bad in high school.
Oh, really?
And so people in high school used to bring him a baseball bag full of stuff. They're like, all right, say what it is. And he's like, it's fucking baseball stuff, man. And then everybody would go crazy.
What?
Because it's a funny joke.
As someone who's, like, never seen that movie... I'm so confused.
Ah, man.
I was talking to a friend and I was like, he mentioned Pulp Fiction and I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that. And he was like, oh my God.
I've only seen the beginning of it.
Okay, so I'm not alone. Yeah. Usually, I'm sure a lot of people would be like, what?
I'm not super big into that movie. I like a lot of other like Quentin Tarantino movies instead.
It's fine. I mean, from the little parts I have seen of it. My thing is like, I'll like walk in and I'll be like, what movie are you watching? And then they'll say that and I'll be like, meh, I'll watch it later.
I'm going to go, yeah.
Anyway, track number 2.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. It's We All Float Down Here. So overall, this is a star track on the record. The lead guitar playing the riff in the beginning and like throughout the verses is so iconic to me and prepares you for like a killer track. There are also some like really special tiny moments that really stand out, like just like with the guitars. And when the bridge comes in, it feels like the perfect moment for like the pit to go fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. I love this song. It's one of my favorites. It's like, so good. So, oh, this was the country version.
Oh, okay.
I might have heard this.
I feel like I had to have shown you.
Yeah. I'll show you again. Don't worry.
Okay. This is probably one of my favorite tracks ever by this band. I always forget about it too.
What?
Yeah, and then the last time I saw them live, they played it, and I was like, holy shit, I remember this song. And then, like, it's been a staple ever since.
It has a very, you're going to remember it tone to it.
Yeah.
Like, it instantly catches your attention.
Absolutely.
That's why I really like it. Also, there isn't, like, a fucking 30-second introduction to the song.
No, it just kind of gets right to the point.
Peel your skin back to show what you're made of. Too bad you never did have the guts to know where your heart should go.
Do, 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 do.
So good.
What an absolute banger of a breakdown in this song, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think that's what sticks out the most, because every time I hear it, I just picture Warped Tour.
Yeah. I wish I would have seen
being in the
Warped.
Middle of the mosh pit. This is also, this should have been on my top five pump-up jams.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe
there's always
do.
There's always time for a second part.
No, but then there's a song later on this album that I might have to tie with this one.
Okay, we'll talk about it there,
but we can, yeah.
And I have an interesting fact. This song title is a reference to the horror classic It.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. The clown's like, we all float down here.
I know.
And then we're all like, ooh.
And then in the new version, Georgie says it.
Yeah, but it's technically the clown.
Yeah, it's technically
Technically Pennywise.
Pennywise.
It's Pennywise. What's our next one, Roper?
Eating My Words.
Dig this track. I feel like it's a great intro song for a significant other or maybe a friend that isn't quite sold on some like harder music. It's pretty catchy and has a nice meaning behind it. I feel like the lead guitars in the bridge are like phenomenal. Love that part. It's not something you hear much of from this band, and I thought it was fun.
It is kind of a different track for them.
I mean, name one like it. It's not even synthesizer keyboard. So it probably is.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't. That's not the tone they were going for here. Yeah. Other than like, you'll hear it on a lot on Rise or Die Trying, which I think that's why a lot of people really love that record.
Yeah, it just stands out so
we
much
need
because of it.
More synthesizers.
Don't tell my dad, because my dad hates synthesizers.
Your dad hates a lot of things he shouldn't.
He does. He does. He's like, what are those called? Stereotypes?
Yeah.
Or
an old man stereotype?
Yeah, he just like, he doesn't like change.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as I grow older and I like start to see things around me, I'm like, ugh, I don't like that.
Man.
I don't like that at all. Why do you wear that? It's just gross, man. I want to talk about it. I was at Hy-Vee today, which is like grocery store here, and I was walking in, and then like I see like, I swear this girl is like 10 years old, is like wearing like a tank top and like really short shorts, and I'm like, oh my God, where's your dad? And then her dad was right there with her, and I'm like, no, you let your daughter out looking like that? And I was like thinking to myself, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to, no.
Yeah.
You're going to cover that up. You're going to wear a winter coat in summer.
Your kid's going to be wearing a burka, bro.
Burka baby.
Mm-hmm. Burka baby.
She's my burka baby. So dumb. So dumb. Anyway, that's all I had on.
Yeah, I work with a lot of younger people now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because, like, I mean, like, I'll be 30 in a couple months. And a lot of people that get hired on there are like early 20s. And when I got hired on there, I was like mid 20s, so I could relate a little bit more. But now there's people that I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Someone said like cap or something to
me. I don't even understand that. Or a lot of people are like, facts, bro. And
I can deal facts. I'm like, oh, that means it's true.
But when it's constant, I'm sounding like my dad, dude.
No, it's annoying. I get that part, but like I can understand what that means. But like I remember when I've heard bussin'.
But yeah, dude.
And I was like, what? Like why is
that
a
mean?
Thing? We're really showing our age.
I know.
I never thought we'd be this part in our life, but we are.
Man, are we now elder emos?
I feel like we always kind of classified. I feel like if you
I hate that phrase, dude.
I hate how much it's used. Yeah. I don't mind.
It makes them sound like a tree.
Never mind. It's so dumb.
Well, like, let me tell you what I think about this song.
Please do.
I remember the first time I heard this song, I fucking hated it.
I knew it.
I thought it was like, I think it's the intro that threw me off.
Dun, dun, dun,
stop
dun,
throwing, dun, stop putting words in my mouth. Dun, dun, and then, but as I listened to it a lot more with my friend, I was like, oh, okay, this song actually rules.
Because
it's so catchy, dude.
It is.
The beginning is so catchy. The guitars hit so hard in this song.
And they kind of come out of nowhere, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
The beginning of the song always hits me weird, but once you get into, like, meat and bones of this song, absolute banger.
Such a banger.
I will always love the lyrics, "Don't be afraid, I'm on the front line to fight for you." Because, like, in the context which he's singing it, or the way that he's saying it in the song is great. The song to me is, like, about, like, you, like, disagreeing with somebody. Or, like, you're, like, in an argument with them, but you still care enough to be like, hey, I understand that you're wrong, or I might be wrong, but I still got your fucking back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
That's a partnership.
You don't like being talked over, but you know what? Sometimes you still care for people. Story of my life.
Sometimes. Sometimes yeah. You still do.
No, I shouldn't say sometimes.
I like the meaning, because a lot of their songs are kind of aggressive. And
yeah.
They put this one, which is, like... There's a few other, they have a few other, like, heartwarming songs yeah. that I really like. I know that they wrote songs about their daughters, which
they've
was
got, yeah,
sweet.
All of their songs come off as super aggressive, but then they have, like, lines like that, and you're just like, oh, they're like, big, nice guys.
Mm-hmm. Dude, when I was on the way to the grocery store today, I rode with a coworker that had, like, this super big bass, like, system in her car.
Oh, I hate those.
I don't hate them, but I don't really like them. Like, I would never pay for it.
No.
But anyway, and she's like, well, what kind of music do you listen to? And I was like, oh, sad boy punk music. And then she was like, what's that? And she's like, play a song that would work well with my bass. And I'm like, thinking, I'm like, most of the music in, like, pop punk and emo has a lot of mid-range.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know if anyone will fit. But talking myself in circles, a bam, bam, bam,
yeah.
I thought that would fit. It didn't.
Really?
It didn't work in her system as well as I was hoping it would. So I was really disappointed. But I thought, like, I feel like if I could, like, EQ it, I could have made it sound really fucking good.
Yeah.
But alas, I could not. So anyway.
Well, your coworker fucking missed out.
She did. Eating My Words. Great little track.
Hell
great
yeah,
little track.
Dude.
Track number 4, Wipe Yourself Off, Man, You're Dead. This is usually a skip for me. But I think it's just because the intro is so long. I always find myself singing along when it actually gets started. It's not a bad song, but I always feel like there are much better songs on this record. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a ton to say. Guitars always sound great. Vocals are great. But, like, you know, it's just not a song that I have a ton of attachment to.
Yeah. When I listen to this album, I usually skip over this track.
Here we go.
Maybe it's the slow guitar intro, but once you get past it, it fucking slaps.
Okay.
Fucking breakdown makes me want to hit something, and I love the smooth transition into the next track.
Ooh, yeah. That is a good one. I think this is a reference to the Rush Hour.
It is.
And I was like, I was always, because I knew it was a reference to something, but I couldn't tell.
I love Rush Hour.
Like the last one where I was like, I was just Googling to make sure that I didn't, that I was like eating my words, and I was going to make a joke that it was like, this is a reference to Urban Dictionary's definition of eating my words. But yeah, not a ton to say.
Do you like the movie Rush Hour?
I don't think I've seen it.
Whoa, dude.
Dude, listen, I watch horror movies. And, like, animated kids movies, like Toy Story, like the classics. And sometimes I'll watch comedy. And that's kind of like, if it's like a serious action-y movie, like the only action movie.
Oh, Rush Hour is funny, dude.
But it's also action-y, isn't it?
Yeah. Jackie Chan does funny action, dude.
Nah.
He's like falling over and
stuff. My buddy Ben made me watch The Babysitter or whatever it's called with Jackie Chan.
What is that called?
I don't remember, but it's such a like it's such a B movie, but it's like kind of good at this. It's like a classic 2000s movie.
I found Ben on TikTok, and he's been sending me the funniest videos.
Yeah, well, yeah. He sends me fucked up shit.
He sent me this one video where it's like this old guy, and it's like a collage of sausages around it, and he's like, "It's okay to have some sausage." And
I know.
That's literally the video. I'm like, it. God damn it,
dude! He sends me like weird shit. Like there was one where this guy was like dressed up as Sonic. And like vaguely making Sonic references, but like he had like stuck his. It's a song, yeah. And it's about him sticking his penis in the door of a car and then ripping it out. And I'm just like, dude, what the, like, what kind of TikTok are you on?
Ben's like sense of humor is unmatched. Like sometimes I think I'm like that level, and then I'm like, no, that guy's way funnier than me.
No, he's something.
Yeah,
he's like an acquired taste. Where it's like I love Ben, and I can talk to him for hours. But like, there's sometimes
he's just so fucking funny.
My other favorite one was a tutorial. It was just like an older woman trying to teach people how to like the best websites to use to find cougars. it's like a good 2 or 3 minute long TikTok, and I watched all of it and I was like fascinated. I was like, it was like some of like the requirements to get on the website was you had to like pay this premium of like $4,000.
Oh my god!
Like I know, so like they knew that you had money essentially. Dude, it's
wait, the women have to have money?
Yeah. They're the cougar.
Oh, okay.
Or
but
baby
you,
mama or whatever.
But you Sugar as mama. The person you're looking for, the cub, if you will. You the don't cub. Have to have money.
So stupid. So it's just the terms we have today. Where it's like you just if you went up to an
I don't
old
know if
man,
that's the proper
like,
term.
You know what sugar mama is?
Yeah.
And then he'd be like,
oh, the candy?
Yeah,
the
it's dumb. It's so dumb. Okay, all right. We got to move on.
Okay,
we
got to
move on. Track number 5, Stolen Credit Card. Open up your eyes and let the light in. Take a shot in the dark. I've got my key to the car. I own a prize. Take a leap of faith without learning to fly. It's my time to shine. I'm gonna light up the world. Till I'm the last one standing. Had one of those before.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. I feel like this is another lull in the record, but I do like once it gets going again. Like, it gets better. The guitars aren't doing much that catches my attention on this one, but the lyrics get me ready to fight someone.
Bro.
Are we, like, totally relating right now?
The song is the perfect song to listen to when you need motivation or when you're pissed off at someone. It's really heavy, and that's saying something for this band. I typically skip over this bad boy due to the slow intro, but once I listened through it, I found a new appreciation for it. I can definitely see the live influence on this song because it's amazing live.
It's amazing. Yeah, I like to think of like 4 Years Strong as a nice like middle ground between like bands like what the fuck is that band called? The one where the pits are nuts and they're like punching people. They're really popular. They go woof woof or whatever.
Oh, Knock Loose?
Knock Loose, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a nice middle ground between Knock Loose and like classic or pop punk music.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know, their vocals like just and they're like fucking lumberjacks. They're like 6 foot tall.
Yeah, and they're into pro wrestling too.
Yeah, and the one has a Christmas tree mill.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you didn't know that?
I think
it's Dan.
I feel like it is Dan.
Dan like has his own.
I can never love Christmas that much.
Dude, they love Christmas. I'm like Halloween guy all the way.
Halloween fucking rules. Dude,
Halloween's like there's just nothing bad about Halloween.
I already have my Halloween costume planned out.
Did you? I did, and then I unfortunately stopped talking to the person, so now I had to find something else out. Oh well, life goes on.
As it does.
But
luckily mine's just a solo costume.
Is it a solo cup?
No. It's pretty fucked up.
Don't do it.
I'm not.
Don't do it. Interesting facts.
I won't be able to get downstairs.
Interesting facts about this song. This is a reference to WikiHow on what to do if your credit card is stolen.
Oh, is it?
No.
I don't think so.
It's just me bringing up another dumb joke.
Okay.
All right. Track number 6.
Gravity.
Gravity.
Drifting through the atmosphere until I disappear. Every day I'm another world away from where.
This is where the record really picks up again for me.
Hell yeah.
God, I love this song. The intro is catchy, and when the verse pop... Oh, wait. And when the verses pop and the drums take... Okay, let me just rephrase it. And when the verse hits, the drum just does like that... It's just like building that tension, which I really like. It's a great feeling. The chorus hits me hard with this one, especially the end chorus. This is just a classic for me. I love it. Especially, you know, like when the between like the bridge and like the final chorus where it's just like Dan on the guitar. It's
yeah,
like,
dude.
Gravity, don't let go, man. So fun. It's like a... I think this was a single... And I think this was the one that, like, really sold me. I was like, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Because, like, when I was listening to this record, like, I have, of course, listened to Rise or Die Trying and Enemy of the World. But I love those records, and I love them then, too. But, like, I think they were just kind of like an intro band to me. And yeah. And then, like, this record was, like, made it a staple band.
You know what? I kind of feel that same way. Because I remember listening to those first two records and being like, oh, yeah, this band rules. And then just kind of leaving them alone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back to it right around when this record came out and then leaving them alone a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like every time they come out with a new record, I'm always like, oh, hell yeah.
And yeah, it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
I think I feel like everything I've listened to them, there's something to enjoy.
Yeah.
If not most of it or all of it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this guy?
I think the song is like has more of a pop punk feel to it than like their easy core staple.
Mm-hmm.
I love the subject matter of this song too. It's about like keeping yourself grounded when you'd rather be somewhere else. Like if you're stuck in like a rut or things aren't going your way, you're like, oh fuck, I'd rather be in like doing something that I like. And I catch myself doing that all the time, like especially when I'm down or depressed. I'm like, I'm just gonna get lost in this book or this like movie or these vid games. And then I come back, I'm like, wait, I gotta fucking tough this out. And this song is like the perfect example of that.
I feel like it's like about how you're almost letting go of everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's kind of like you're starting to like gradually like move away, and the idea of gravity is like, no, keep me stable, keep mm-hmm. me balanced, keep me like committed. And I don't know, I really liked it. I've always been a huge fan of this one. It's probably my top 10 songs by them for sure.
Yeah, this song is great, dude.
You ready to move to the next guy?
Yeah.
What is it?
Who cares? I don't wanna blur the line. I just want it to fade
away. Save it for somebody who cares. This is the hidden gem on the record for me. Never hear anyone talk about this song, but damn, it's catchy, and the first like line of the song is so fucking good. What's the difference between the right, the wrong, the black, the white, the weak, the strong? Are you even listening? The guitar licks sprinkled in are really good, and don't forget that fucking breakdown. It's nothing crazy, but it does exactly what it needs to do. Excelente. Loved it. No one talks about this song.
I know.
I talked about it with Batch, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when we came on and we did underrated songs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
We got to talk to those guys again.
Yeah, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Did they die?
They went on a tour and never came back.
What do you think?
God damn, this song puts me in a good mood every time I hear it. Even though the subject matter might not be like a happy subject, they hit you with those gain vocals right before the chorus, and you're like, fuck, that hurts. And then another dope-ass breakdown to add to this album. How many is there on this album? Like one per 46. Song?
46.
46, dude. And there's only 11 songs.
Mm-hmm.
The song is an absolute bop. The guitar always, I don't know why I said that weird. The guitar always throws me off to the point where I would like skip it at first.
How dare you?
And then I come back to it and I'm like, God, this song's dope.
Such dope. Dope ass song.
Dope.
I always kind of like imagine this one and be like, why are we fighting over nothing?
Exactly.
I really like that idea. It's like who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Hey, I didn't even mean to do that.
There you go.
I just happened. Anyway, we jump on the next one.
Yeah.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women. I don't have much to say about this. I don't think it's bad by any means. It has a great hook at the end, and the chorus and the guitars are great as always, but nothing like phenomenal.
This song has like the second most views. If you like look up the lyrics to it, it has like 16,000. And then
I think it's because of the reference.
Yeah. And then We All Float Down Here has like 100-some thousand. Maybe.
Oh, really?
More. Yeah. I was looking at that today. I feel bad for whoever this song is about. 4 Years Strong doesn't like them, and I wouldn't mess with them because they could totally kick your ass. This song rules.
Agreed to both of those. And this is a Jaws reference.
Yeah.
Because I saw this movie, but I was like, 9.
You know what's weird? I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen it?
No.
He's only seen Jaws 3.
No. I've never seen any Jaws movie.
I think there's a lot of Jaws movies.
I don't know. I don't really like disaster movies with animals.
Why not?
I don't know. I just think they're cheesy.
Dude, I watched this documentary, and it was about these, I was like 4 or 5 kids that had gotten stranded out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And there were sharks surrounding them, and they're like basically in a raft. Like literally the shark could like come up, bite the raft, and like have it pop and blah, blah, blah.
But they were just circling them.
But they're dumb because they're fish.
Yeah.
Not all fish are dumb.
Fish are stupid.
Okay. I don't want to offend any fish out there listening underwater.
Fish sticks.
Stop that. but anyway, there's like this scene that's so funny to me, and it's so they had been using this like ways to purify the water essentially.
Yeah.
And basically, what you do is you take a shirt or some type of cloth, like pour water over it, and then what kind of drips out?
It's just filters
it's,
it.
Yeah, for the like, it's not a great filter, but it's better than drinking it because if you drink salt water, like your brain goes crazy. Well, for whatever reason, this girl's like, fuck that shit, and 100% drank it, jumped in the water, got ate by sharks like 8 seconds later.
Dumbass.
And then the guy was like, he looked terrified, but he was also like, well, I mean, yeah.
One less body.
Mm-hmm. One less thing. But he also just like, it's like a smorgasbord that's really slow.
Yeah.
I don't remember the ending of it. I think I woke up at like 3 a.m. and started watching it and fell back asleep. So. But that was a long time ago. I was riding the school bus and telling my friends about it the next day.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
So long. You ready for that? What's the next one, Roper?
Yeah. I'm a big, bright, shining star.
Okay, I think this song's my favorite. I think this one's my favorite. Everything just seems to work so well from the guitars, vocals, drums, probably bass. Roper, you can tell me about that.
Yeah.
The pre-choruses with gang vocals pump you up, and then they hit you with a great chorus. The lead guitar just feels incredible. It feels really natural in there, but it's also like, man, it's like that high-endy thing that's like really keeping your attention while listening to the vocals. They don't clash, which I always thought was really interesting. I don't know how they did that. The final pre-chorus/chorus is great as always. Love, love, love this one.
God damn, this song hits hard right away, dude. Guitars hook you right away. I love this riff right in the beginning of it. You saw me when you started playing it earlier.
Oh, yeah. He started singing along.
I'm just so happy. The gain vocals and the pre-chorus are my absolute favorite, dude. Hunter and I wrote out these
separately,
completely separate times. These are genuine reactions to these songs. This album is full of catchy choruses, but this might be the catchiest.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about this song. Like, I always forget about this band and I always forget about this song, but then I put it on, same exact reaction to the first time that I heard it. The Leetles and the feedback in the bridge are absolutely epic.
So very epic.
Little.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite. I think
I agree, dude.
It might be tied with Gravity. There's a few points in Gravity that just like really get me, but no, there's something special. I think this was the last single they released when this record was coming out. I could be wrong on that.
Oh, the title is a reference to the movie Boogie Nights.
Oh.
If you've never seen Boogie Nights, it is one of the best movies ever made.
It kind of reminds me, not Boogie Nights, but the song, like the title reminds me of like when Michael Scott was like telling his boss that you have no idea how high I can fly. I feel like that'd be another great title for a song.
There you go. Maybe a Leaving Warren track.
It could be. Probably not. I'm pretty boring with my titles.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. All right. the second to last track, The Sound of Your Heart. This one's okay. I usually skip this one, honestly, but it's not bad. Like, I really had nothing crazy. I feel like there's so many better songs on this record.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to skip. You know, yeah, don't have much to say.
That's okay. I feel like this song should have, like, ended the album. But then they are like, oh, wait, we got to add the next track last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it does transition smoothly to the next track, but... This is another song, epic song on this album that makes me want to lift weights and run.
Lift weights and run. Or drink milk and run.
Drink milk and run. There we go.
So before we jump into the last one.
Yes.
This 100%, I'll talk about it more in a bit, but like this 100% was supposed to be the ending of the record.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was just kind of like they wrote it and they like figured out it was like in the same key or it had some of the same notes that would really transition well into the next track.
Yeah.
And that's why they added it. And then I'll give into more reasons why. But the next track is Go Down in History. It's never too late to keep your head straight. Move your head back and forth in perfect symmetry. So you can live like a time bomb that doesn't have love. Go down in history. I love this track. It was originally on Go Down in History EP back in 2014. I'm not 100% sure why it was out of this record. I feel like they knew it was a banger on the EP and that it wasn't going to get the attention that the long play would. So, and it fits well. Like, it doesn't fit poorly. It's like, I know that you, like, I really do think the previous record was supposed to be the last song, but they're like, fuck it. Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know? And I don't blame them for that.
Yeah.
The chorus is my favorite part, especially
hell
the
yeah,
guitarist.
Dude.
Right before the final chorus. Like, it just... It is a great song that I'm glad got a little more recognition with this
Me
one.
Me too. This song brings back so many fucking memories. Like,
so many.
When I first heard it, it was just on repeat all the time. God damn it, it's so good. The call and response vocals are prime 4 years strong. The perfect chorus, the perfect build up to it. It's a chef's kiss to an amazing album. The song is one of my... many favorite songs by them. The perfect ending to this album now.
You know what's crazy?
I wrote this before I wrote the the reaction to the last song.
You know, I think this doesn't even like crack my top five songs on this record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like not that I don't enjoy it or anything like that, but just because I feel like it was a been there, done that situation.
I feel that too, like going back and listening to the full record.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is... a lot of really good fucking songs on there.
It's so many good songs.
Overall, what would you give this record?
I struggle with this question because I was thinking about it, and I think initially my answer would be a 9.
Yeah.
But kind of digging deeper into it and like kind of seeing the lulls in the record.
Yeah.
I wanna comfortably be a cheapskate and give it an 8.5. Like right, I think it's better than an 8, but I don't think it quite hits 9.
I'm probably going to give it an 8 just because there is a couple songs that sound similar to the other ones
mm-hmm.
where like you're like, okay, yeah, this 4 year strong song, but then that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know? But otherwise, there's a lot of sleeper hits on this record that I feel like anybody who has not listened to this band or has only heard the first two records
mm-hmm.
should do themselves a service.
It's and a great
listen
to
this. Yeah, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to say that for me, for like a lot of records. It's like I can listen to this record front to back and not have any issues with
it.
Sure, there may be some skips, like, but honestly, not if I'm prepared to listen to a full 4 year strong. Like, you going on a road trip, listen to this whole record.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it.
It's fun fucking 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And if you only have like, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes, highly recommend. I'm a big, bright, shiny star.
Yeah.
Gravity. I hold myself in content. Go down in history.
We all float down here.
Oh, we all float down here. Of course.
Eating my words.
Eating my words. I feel like, yeah, I like it just because it's different.
That one's one of my favorites just because I listened to it so much mm-hmm. and I hated it at first.
Who cares is a little like I really think no one talks about that, so people need to talk about that one more.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Roper, you asked a very important question to our listeners, and we're gonna talk about it.
I did.
What did you ask?
I asked what your guys' favorite four-year strong record was.
Oh, boy. Oh, my. Can I read the first one?
Yeah, you can.
Roper's Dad. Rise or Die Trying Because Bada Bing with a Pipe. Excellent song. Excellent choice, Roper's Dad.
I don't know why he likes this song
so much. Did he text you that or what?
He put it on our Facebook.
Oh,
like,
did he?
He wrote back to the question on the Facebook story.
Oh, okay.
So it went straight to our messages.
Dope. On Facebook. I didn't see that.
Francisco _G _19. Said basic choice, but deluxe version of Enemy of the World. It's already an amazing album, and they just slapped some amazing acoustic versions of their songs that I adore.
Agreed. I'm a sucker for acoustic tracks, and I really think 4 Year Strong does it some of the best.
Yeah,
easy peasy. Pizzah 5150 said, this is extremely tough question, but I'm gonna have to go with Rise or Die Trying, even though a few of my favorites by them are on Enemy of the World. I feel that for sure. I feel like Enemy of the World has overall better songs, but I feel like Rise or Die Trying is an easy listen all the way through.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
We'll stick with that one.
Audio Drone said Enemy of the World.
What up?
Yeah.
XX Brujita. How
do you know? I would have said Brujita.
Brujita. I like Brujita. XX Enemy of the World. Wasting Time is one of their best songs on this album, in my opinion. Hard agree with that. That and Find My Way Back Home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a slept on song. I mean, it's one of their most popular, but I do feel like it's still slept on.
How would you say this next one?
Okay, Eon Aeon.
Okay. Maybe.
This is a really cool chick that follows us back from TikTok.
Oh, she it's does her? The
yeah, four bands from every state.
Oh, dope.
Mm-hmm. She's cool.
That's awesome. Have you talked to her?
Not really.
Okay, but I do know her videos and they're dope.
Mm-hmm.
She said easy, Rise or Die Trying.
Highly recommend going and checking her out. Hell for yeah. Some good band recommendations. And then finally, we have JPG Commoner 1997 said tie between Enemy of the World and Brain Pain fire emoji. I'm glad Brain Pain's getting some
me too.
Some references there. I love Brain Pain. I do feel like Brain Pain has some of the more lulls on their record, but they actually have like some of the best songs they've written on there too.
Oh yeah.
So
love the way you lie or
learn to love the lie.
Learn to love the lie, not the Eminem song.
Yeah,
that song fucking slaps, dude.
It's so good. Roper, let's jump in to the next section. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social media. Now, Roper!
Uh-huh.
This week, we have Grandchild with their song, Give Me a Reason. So this is what Grandchild's all about. It said, I'm the singer of a relatively underrated poppy punky band, driver friendly from Hopeless Records, and I'm doing press for my indie/folky/rocky project Grandchild, which is cool. We like those things. So what's the story behind the song? He says, I wish there was more depth. However, I wrote the song for my friend Sarah, who developed photos for me and took years to give them back to me. So I ended up writing this song and sending it to her. I thought initially he meant to say feelings and then nope, it was photos. So Roper, you know what to do.
Let's see if I can do it. I'm sick this week.
Come on, Sicky, do it.
Kick it!
Always tell me that you're right, but can you tell me what's mine? I'm looking over time.
On the floor, I'm on the floor. You give me a reason. Cigarette more. I'm in love.
There.
Give me a reason.
Show me a sign. always waiting for your photos. I'm always waiting and waiting for you to love me like you used to do.
Some of the guitar work on this.
That's so good.
Excellent.
Got a little nice little bass riff in there.
Baby. What
do,
up?
Do, 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 do.
No, Grandchild's got Sarah. Some catchy ass shit here.
Yeah, dude.
I like that it was initially kind of wrote just because he wanted his fucking photos printed.
Yeah, dude. Come on, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, what are you fuck are you doing? I wonder if there's a little undertone there. Maybe he's like, well, he's like, hey, baby, what up? You know?
What
give
up?
My photos and
where,
your heart.
Where those photos be?
Where that heart be, baby? Oh.
Take a picture of your heart. Give it to me. Sarah.
Love it. Yeah, man, this was great. This was such a fun listen.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like it's a little bit different than what we usually show on the show, and I feel like it still fits, which is dope as fuck. Really like it. I like the acoustic undertones to it.
Yeah, dude.
But yet the more electric that we've heard also was a great fit with it. So it's hard to manage that a lot from my experience.
Sometimes it can be a little overpowering.
It is for sure. So great job. Grandchild only has a staggering 283 monthly listeners.
What are you guys doing?
Ridiculous. If you guys like this kind of music and you guys or maybe just need a little bit of a palate cleanser,
Sarah
and Grandchild would absolutely love you to listen to this song and many more.
A Sarah.
So yeah, give it a listen wherever you listen to music.
Yeah, dude. You can find our Linktree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. And more. Did you say Twitter?
Yeah.
Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow.
We need it.
Every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find our playlist or find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our pop punk emo supremo picks playlist that I curate weekly. Don't forget to check out our new show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your weekly new releases, tour announcements, and more.
So much more. We talked about if Matt Skiba doesn't know if he's in Blink-182.
Yeah.
Briefly, but still, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Roper, what's your hot take, baby?
I don't know. This one's kind of a hot one, bro.
Is it extra spicy?
It can be sometimes.
Okay.
I feel like soup is just a beverage.
I think soup. What about this? What about the like stuff that's in soup? Like potentially.
Well, smoothies are a beverage.
Yeah.
And they have fruit in them.
Man. You're like one of those one guys that's like, pizza is a sandwich. And it's like, no, it's not.
It could be if it's you fold it.
Stop.
What's a calzone then? Stop. Calzone's a sandwich.
Calzone's a wrapped up pizza.
And what's a wrap? Taco?
It's a taco pizza.
A burrito?
A wrap's
just an American burrito, dude.
All right. I'm already done with this. I'm like, it's hot where we're recording. I'm wearing a sweater because I don't know how to coordinate. And now we're talking about soup as beverages. And I will admit, there have been times to finish the soup, I would drink it. But, like, I'm not, like, it's not natural.
No. But you don't chew on tomato soup. You slurp it.
No, there's little peels in there still.
Is there?
Sometimes. I've if never they don't had do it
tomato.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, what kind of tomato soup are you eating, bruh?
Not the best kind, the ones that I make.
Well,
the ones I buy in a can.
Okay, well then.
I might do that tonight.
Hot cheese and hot chocolate?
No, grilled cheese and tomato sauce. Soup.
Well, if you think soup's a food, then hot chocolate has to be a food then. It's just chocolate soup.
We're done. We're done. I'm done.